Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Welcome to the house of death. It's a good day to die to yourself. Wasn't that Jesus' formula? Amen. You want success, you got to deny yourself. That's called death to self. You know, we all have certain plans and ways. You know, God, the word says God laughs at our plans. Come on, man, really. One of the most important things is to know what God's will is. Everyone will stand before him one day. Nobody escapes that. And one of the worst things we could do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Ooh, that's a terrible thing. We thought we were doing it all things. We thought we were good. We thought we were doing all these wonderful things. Get before the Lord and he says, you didn't do anything for me. That's all you were concerned about was your house, your empire, your family, and not mine. That's a terrible place to be. How many of y'all know time's running out? There's a shift that's about to explode in a tremendous way. There's going to be a rolling. It's a rolling of deception first, and it's increasing more and more and more. Even many of God's children have forsaken their destiny. They've gone from surrender to survival. They've been infiltrated by the whisper of deception and delusion, confusion and fear. They've been taken captive by the worldly lusts and technology. What it all promotes is self, self-agenda, self-agenda, self-agenda. It has a form of godliness, but it has no power to overcome the ways of the world. It's impossible. The word tells us that without submission to God, you cannot resist the devil. In other words, you cannot resist his influence. You cannot resist his voice. You cannot resist him at all. And it doesn't mean that you're going to do something evil. It means that you're not going to fulfill your destiny, which God sent you into this realm to do. It means that you will not fulfill the will. That's why we were rescued. That's why we're still alive. Not to fulfill our will, but to fulfill his will. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you said, okay, I'm giving you my will. In fact, I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to go a little bit further. I'm going to give you my finances. I'm going to give you my dreams. I'm going to give you my desires. In fact, I'm going to give you my job, my wife, my children. I'm going to give you everything. So I'm cut loose from every entanglement of this world, and I'm yours. And until I come to that, he's not mine then. See, one of the things he requires is everything. Not one hand, not one day, not one afternoon, not one week. Life. He requires life for life. And until we're willing to give our life, we will never have the fullness of him. Won't happen. Is everybody okay? Listen, this is not in my notes, okay? He's preparing us. He's warning us. He's correcting us. And he's chastening us because he loves us. And he's saying it's time to get in divine order so his divine nature can be imparted and his divine power will allow you to overcome the ways of the world. So that you will live not only a clean life, a holy life, a righteous life, but a life of power and glory. Again, we are in a time right now that it's unstable. Everything right now is unstable. In fact, people don't know what's getting ready to happen next. They know something's going to occur, but they don't know what's getting ready to happen. You know, if we were stripped from everything that we had and left alone, you'd better know him. It's time to know him and know him like you've ever known him before. This is not just about fluffiness. It's not about, you know, there's a lot of people say, I know the Lord. I love the Lord. But yet the word says, if you love him, you'll obey him. Most people don't even seek to find out what he's got for them. They don't even pick up their word. They're not in fellowship. They're still doing their independent lives. They become fufu, granola, nutty and fruity. They live by goosebumps, not by truth. It's got nothing to do with feeling. God is not the God of feeling. He's the God of truth. Too many live by how they feel. Oh, I don't feel this way, and I don't feel that way, and I just feel this. God can never trust you, and you'll never fulfill the will of God. You will constantly fulfill your own. Remember, this place is temporary. This is like a one-night sleep with a dream. One day you'll wake up from this. For some of us, it's like a nightmare. But we will wake up from this sleep. So in this dream, we've waken up The sleeper has awakened in the dream, but now we're waiting to come out of it. And that's the next move is home. No, you can't take your boats, your cars. You can't take anything with you, your favorite clothes. I can't take my red sneakers, although I think they're already there. I think Jesus wears red sneakers. We can't take nothing with us. The only thing that we can take with us is what will meet us there, and that's souls. 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 You know, I'll never forget Schindler's List, and it still blows me away if anyone's ever seen it. And this was a man that was very wealthy, and he went to Germany to expand his wealth. And when he began to see the persecution of the Jews, God touched his heart. And he built a factory, and it wasn't producing any money. But the purpose of building this factory to make weapons, supposedly, armor, was to rescue as many Jews as possible. He was paying them off. He was paying the German army off to rescue the Jews. He realized how much important a life was compared to the money that he had. And at the end, when the war was over, the Jews got together and they took out as much gold as they could because he gave up everything out of their teeth to make him a ring in remembrance of the lives, the souls that he saved from the burning furnaces. And one of the things he did before he was leaving, he wet his knees and he wept. And he said, because he began to see all the money. He was flashbacking of all the money he was wasting and partying and drinking and all of this other stuff and all of his fame and fortunes and all of these things. And he wept and wept and he realized he could have bought one more soul. He could have saved one more from that furnace, just one more. And he wept bitterly, knowing how many more and how much more he could have done for the kingdom than what he did. And I'm sharing this with you today because I don't think we take kingdom business serious enough. The world takes it nonchalantly. It's a common, well, you go to church on Sunday and, you know, you pay your tithes and you do this and you do that. But it's not taken serious. It's not taken serious that lives, real human lives, are at stake. They're at stake. They're there, right in arm's reach, where someone may go to hell that day, or someone you could have helped, or whatever it may have been, or helping the kingdom, whatever it is, knowing that there was something more we've could have done, and we didn't, because of our selfishness. This was nothing that I had planned this morning, because anything I get planned, I usually gets altered anyways. But we want to be led by the Spirit, because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. The world is looking for truth. They're not looking to go to church. Listen, we come to fellowship so we can get filled, empowered, and get strategies and be trained up so we can go out to the world. You know, when I got saved, I was told I was going to do all of these things for the body of Christ. I didn't want to do anything for the body of Christ. What's the body of Christ need anything for? You get saved, you have a fellowship with the King of Glory, you listen to the Holy Spirit, you pray every day, you seek the Lord's face, and you'll know what to do. That's it. But I didn't realize how damaged the body was. I didn't realize how far off so many people were. I didn't realize the lack of training that there was and the lack of relationship, the lack of staying on fire with God. I was amazed as I began to grow and grow and grow in the kingdom. I'm thinking, what do we need? Why do we need to minister to the kingdom? We need to minister to the lost. But there is a process of training that God brings us through. But there's a time where we should no longer be a debit. We should be an asset. Amen? We should no longer be, man, if you've been a believer over 2 years, you better be a debit by now. I mean, an asset, sorry. If you're still a debit, then there's something wrong. We should want to be a part of the house of God. We should want to be a part of a ministry. We should want to be able to serve. We should want to be able to be trained. We should want to be the extension of God's hands and voice. And it happens not in an independent mood, but it happens through the house of God. The reason why people don't want to do that is because they don't want to submit. In fact, many people don't even want to do it because they're afraid to submit. They're afraid of what might be asked of them. Well, then you're really not his, you're yours. Because you haven't given your life yet. Remember, this is life for life. It's not a hand for life. It's not an eye for life. It's a life for life. And that's where we've got to get to. Life for life. Amen? When it's life for life, you have everything. If you're only given partial, then you have to work for the rest of yours. But when it's life for life, I'm warranted. Why? Because it's not my life anymore. It's His life. Amen? So if I've given my life to Him, I have a sticker that says lifetime warranty. So that means whatever's going on in my life, I always know that He's there. And there's a purpose and there's a reason for everything that I go through. It's for training for reigning, for direction. And sometimes if I make a wrong turn, I get chastened. And He says, come back. Remember, right now we are in a time. Come on, you see the news, you hear all kinds of things. You see things that are going crazy. We got a president that serves darkness. That's an antichrist spirit. Most of the government now is antichrist spirit. They're promoters of same-sex marriage. They're promoters of abortion. They're murderers. They're liars and they're thieves. I mean, let's be real. Without the presence of the body of Christ, there would be no restraining of evil. And the next event that's going to happen is the rapture. We're going to be taken out of here. But my hope is not in the rapture. My hope is in Him. Because I want to bring as many souls home and train as many souls possible so that they can bring souls home. We live for the kingdom. And if we don't live, listen, just because I'm up here at a pulpit has nothing to do with life in the kingdom. Everybody has their own pulpit. You can have a pulpit at work. Hello? You got an invisible one. Just when this one's manifested. We tried to make it as clear as possible, but it didn't work. Everyone has a destiny. You are called to battle. Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, and your destiny is to infiltrate the world system with the abilities and talents God's given you. For some of us, there's all kinds of things. Some of us are called to finance the kingdom. Some of us are called to serve in certain areas. Some of us are called to go out into a missionary. Some of us are called all kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you something. Without staying filled with the fire of God, you'll be easily swayed. Sustaining the fire is important. Everyone say that. Sustaining the fire is important. Everybody got it? Good. We're going to go there then. Sustaining the fire. Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent. That means turn away. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair and with leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Now he did not eat flying locusts. This locust was a nut. That's where nut and honey came from, the cereal. In verse 5, then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers. He knew who they were. They were imitators. They were false. They weren't true. He said, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, or I'm a good person. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. These trees are a representation of people. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down, hello, and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. So we see that there's two baptisms. There's a baptism of repentance. When people get baptized in water, it's only symbolic. It has nothing to do with entering heaven. It's when you repent of your sins that you are actually baptized by the blood of Christ because you are washed. But to be baptized in water is symbolic, but we do it to make confession before heaven, the natural realm, and hell of what we've accepted. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire releases a divine power. The Holy Spirit is acknowledged here is oil, and oil is what keeps a fire burning. The fire is the power. The Holy Spirit is the oil. The fire is the power. And when that power is there, there's heat. That's why sometimes you'll feel heat come upon you when you're praise and worship. That's the presence of the Lord. In Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, well, actually, let's go to verse 4, because I think that's verse 4. In verse 4, it says, let's read it together. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them. Does everybody see the word command? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you have heard. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. See, it's a command to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. People accept Jesus as Savior, but he's never their Lord. They say Lord, but it's impossible because when Jesus is your Lord, you don't have a life. You've truly given your life over. That's what Lord means. He's Lord over your life. So that means you acknowledge him in everything. You go to him before you do anything. He's always before you no matter what you do. Okay, Lord, what are we doing today? What would you like me to do? Anything you want to tell me? Let me tell you, I want you to warfare. I want you to pray. Go warfare first and we'll talk later. Okay. He'll wake you up in the middle of the night. He'll visit you in dreams and visions. See, if you're truly seeking him, he'll speak to you. But if you're not, you won't hear nothing. You'll assume, and hope this is it, You'll flip a coin, and you'll never know exactly what you're supposed to do. And I'll tell you, the enemy looks for people like that because he knows he can always mislead them and deceive them easily. In verse 8, it says, but you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Again, the Holy Spirit is associated with oil. The fire is the power. It expresses, releases a heat, doesn't it? Well, look it. Fire also takes oxygen, doesn't it? Without oxygen, you can't burn a fire. That means oxygen is associated with air or breath. So I want you to understand, in the physical and in the spiritual, so the Holy Spirit is a breath spiritually with spiritual power and divine power. Physically, you need to have oxygen, right, to keep a fire going, but you need oil to get it really hot, don't you? So we see here then, and God says, listen, I want you to walk in power, because you can't be a witness without power. This power is to overcome the temptations of the world, the desires of the world. It's to overcome sin. God wants us to come from the natural to the supernatural, so we don't walk in the natural state of being, we walk in the supernatural. So that the things that are natural, we always grab a hold of and move it aside and bring in what is the will of God. But see, if you can't discern that, it doesn't happen. Natural states are always taking you over. Always brings you in fear. You always wonder what's confusion, frustration, fear, anxiety, stress. You run to the doctor, you get medication, and it puts you more in the same stupor. Really doesn't help because you cannot medicate a demon. Why? Because the Bible says we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers of darkness. So we've opened ourselves up to a spirit that's in us. Well, I don't feel no spirit. Of course you don't, but I can tell you I can see the fruits of it. Or some of you do feel the spirit. It's called anxiety. It's called fear, stress, anger, hatred, murder, lust, greed, perversion. Hello? Those are all spirits. One of the things that he wants to do, let me tell you what happens with this fire. This fire that is important, that's why we must sustain the fire. It dismantles self. It always dismantles you so he can express himself. We should want to be dismantled. We should want to die to self. We should want to do the will of God. If we're not in that place, we're lost. Living outside of salvation's truth. Look at Psalm 19. Is everybody okay? Psalm 19. In verse 1. Hallelujah. You came to hear the truth, right? Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God. Come on, speak it with me. And the firmamentation shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the Son. That's the dwelling place of God, which is like a bridegroom. Jesus is known as the bridegroom, and we are the bride, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. That chamber is the third chamber of the tabernacle, rejoicing like a strong man to run its race. In verse 6, its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its what? Heat. What's the heat mean?
Fire,
which means is his power, his presence that holds all things together. Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. Oh, yeah. In verse 1, sustaining fire. We must sustain the fire. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, would you read it with me? When the day of Pentecost fully came, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as what? As of fire, and one sat upon each of them. So this fire was above them. They saw the fire. Why? Because they became the light. They got filled with oil, and a flame came. They were now the candle and the light. In verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they listen, the eternal presence of God, the fire and the oil of God came into them. Now they became the tabernacle of God. And there was a fire above them that they saw. And they spoke in another language because they could speak directly to the one who made them. It's called tongues. So they speak right to the one that created them. And there's a whole teaching on tongues, and I'm not going there today. They became the light. They became the candle from the eternal realm into the physical realm. They became the offspring of the true light, Christ Jesus. And Numbers 9. Numbers chapter 9. In verse 15. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. Remember, the humans became the tabernacle of God now. Now, this is for everyone. Does everybody understand? God is not a respecter of person. Anyone who wants everything of God can access him. But if we're too caught up and deceived by the world, and those demons that are still in us are still preventing us from knowing what's what, we'll still be distant. You'll have a long-distance relationship with God and never a close one. It's like writing a letter to Santa Claus and hope he's going to answer you. In verse 15, now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of testimony, from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. So if we are now the tabernacle, that's what happened. When people are baptized in the Holy Spirit with power and fire, that oil, the Holy Spirit, now lights a fire. Same thing in the Old Testament. When they built the tabernacle, the cloud was over it by day, the fire was over it by night. See, so many people don't even seek to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and the fire. They're comfortable right where they're at. Or what happens is they don't sustain the fire anymore. In verse 17 it says, whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that, the children of Israel would journey, and in a place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents because they were being led by the Spirit. That's a life that says, I give you my life for your life. See, Jesus offers his life for every human, but there's a price you must pay. You must give your life for his, or you don't have a life. In Exodus 13. Or Exodus 3, I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 3. You'll stand before God and God will say, okay, well, what'd you do? Well, I did this, 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 and this, and this. And he'll say, well, you didn't give me your life yet. It was all your life, not mine. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Would you read it with me? I think that's it. Exodus 3. Hold on. Exodus chapter 3. Let's see. Oh, verse 2. And it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. A flame of what?
Fire.
Fire. That was the power of God. Does everybody understand that? from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was not burning with fire. In other words, it wasn't not a physical fire. It was a supernatural fire. But the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush does not burn, but I see a fire there. And so when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to what? Look, that means seek his face. When he turned aside to look, God called to him. In other words, God acknowledged him. There's something when the angel of the Lord showed up to Daniel, he says, listen, the moment you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself, we heard you. See, God doesn't hear until the heart is set to understand and humbleness. That means his heart is set towards him. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Then he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take off your sandals of your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. See, Moses was walking in the old life. He was a murderer. He killed someone. He killed an Egyptian. So there was sin on him. But he said, the Lord said, okay, take your sandals off. In other words, take the way you're getting a new walk. Let me tell you, Moses put back on his shoes, and those shoes were not the same shoes, and he never walked the same again after being in front of God. And he said, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon him. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. Let me tell you, God knows. He knows everything you're going through. It doesn't matter. You may not think he knows it. The enemy may have you convinced that you're the only one. Well, you're not. In verse 8, and he says, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. The word Egypt means world. It's the bondage, the place of the world. The whole world is Egypt. And to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. These were all giants. So he's come to rescue them and put them in a land where Nephilims lived. Giants. Does everybody understand this? This is going to be the place that they're going to dwell in, man. I'm taking you from a life of bondage and bringing you to a life of victory. But you can't have victory without a battle. Victory is earned. It's not granted. Oh, hallelujah. He says, I'm sending you now. Now, therefore, behold, the city of the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you. Moses was a little freaked out. But see, that's why we got rescued, so that he can send us. We did not get rescued just to build our own little empire or do our thing. We got rescued to exchange life for life. This is what this is about. This is not being an area of just ministry. It's life for life. This is not just being behind a pulpit. This is a life. This is not just doing something on Sunday. This is a life. This is not doing something on Tuesday or Friday or certain days of gathering. No, this is life for life. This is forever. This is life for life. You've actually given your life for his. That's salvation. Amen. See, now there's something very important here, because the fire that was supernatural, we know that once that fire came on Moses, he never walked the same way again. Amen? Why? Because fire speaks. Fire speaks. Why? The presence of God speaks to us. He comes in many forms. See, that's where relationship is. That's why he said, call, when he built the tabernacle, he said, I'll meet you at the mercy seat. His purpose is wanting to meet us all the time. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to meet us personally. He wants to keep us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He wants to do far above all we could ever ask, but he wants to. The only thing he asks from me and you is cooperation. It's like getting a gift card, and he says, okay, I got you the gift card. Go to the store. But people go out and buy their own gift cards. Hallelujah. In Matthew 5, sustaining fire. We want to be witnesses. I can't be a witness without power. Chapter 5, verse 14. Would you read it with me? It says what? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light up a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, if you're not sustaining fire, how are they going to see that light? They'll see circumstances happen in your life to where you either run to a bottle, the dope, a pill, work, whatever it may be, instead of the throne room of God, because there's really not a relationship. Many people run to the phone instead of the throne. Let's go to the throne first and then the phone. Amen? In Job 18, that's the employment section. It's called Job. You're looking for a job? Go to Job. I didn't know how to, you know, I thought, the first time I opened the Bible, I go, oh my God, they got stuff about a job in here. They were really serious. Everything's in this word. Hallelujah. Chapter 18, verse 5. Would you read it with me? The light of the wicked indeed goes out. The flame of his fire does not shine. The light is dark in his tent, and his lamp beside him is put out. The steps of his strength are shortened, and his own counsel casts him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks into a snare. The net takes him by the heel, and a snare lays hold of him. Why? Because the light allows you to see, spiritually see. People get snared by the enemy because they cannot spiritually discern nor spiritually see. Their sight is too short-sighted. Amen? Why? Because they do not sustain fire. We must sustain the fire. In Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? In verse 22 it says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered where? In heaven. To God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of things, those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a what? Consuming fire. He is a what? Consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. His fire dismantles self. It burns away the things of worldliness, the cares of the world. It burns away compromise, complacency, and laziness, deception, and delusion. But I'll tell you what, it's so easy for people to surrender their will to the wrong thing. God never interferes with your will. He doesn't interfere. He waits. He waits for you to surrender your will to him every day and to keep it there. But so many people take it back from him and surrender it to the wrong thing. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, greed, whatever it is, they surrender their will. They surrender their will to familiar spirits. And they're inconsistent, unstable, double-minded, and cannot be trusted. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 3, would you go there? How many of y'all want God's trust? Well, then you got to be consistent. You cannot allow the dictates of your emotions tell you what is. And you must surrender your life for his. In verse 14, this is very powerful. Revelation 3:14. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now this is very powerful because I want you to grab hold of something. Laodicea was located in an area where there was earthquakes and all kinds of stuff in that area. And there was this place not too far away called Hierapolis. And it was a city that was known for hot springs because of some of the earthquakes. These hot springs had come up. And people would go there and soak in these hot springs, and it was helping heal their bodies. It was used as a medical. It was improving their health, and it was promoting healing. And another city not far away called Colleus, it was known for cold waters. They had freezing cold waters. So people would travel great distances during the hot summertime to go to these cold water areas. And during this time, the Romans, they wanted, because Laodicea was a wealthy town, was a wealthy city. So they wanted to improve the city by running these hot water springs to their location. And it took them a long period of time to establish this construction. The problem that they had was by the time the hot water got to them, it became lukewarm. And so this hot water spring now that was lukewarm, if you tasted it, it was nauseating. It was terrible. You wouldn't even drink it. You would spit it out of your mouth. That's why Jesus used this parable. Is everybody okay? It became useless. So I want you to know that without sustaining fire, you and I are useless. How do we sustain this fire? We must abide again. I'm telling you, I don't know. Well, we need to have tattoo. Abide. Abide. Go to John 15. Abide. Because without sustaining fire, it will not produce the right fruit. Your light will no longer burn and dismantle. The fire won't dismantle you. And you won't walk in power. You'll still walk as a carnal, normal human being. And we don't want that. We want to walk in spirit, power, and truth. We want to be able to discern when the enemy's trying to snag us. We want to be able to speak directly to God. We want to be able to see vision. He'll show you. Let me tell you something. When my little girl, when she just first started walking, and I've shared this story before, I was going, you know how a garage door sometimes is heavier, you know? I mean, the door that goes, not the one that goes up, and the one that opens the door, side door, goes from your house into the garage. It's usually a heavier, wider sometimes. Anyways, I was walking out the garage. I was going out to the garage door, and I was opening the door, and I was getting ready to close it because I was going to go in there. And instantly, I saw a vision of my little girl's hand in the where the door would have shut or where the hinges, and I saw them break off. Just like this, I saw that, and I turned around very quickly and grabbed my hand and slapped the door, and there was my little girl with her hand right there. And I wept because I know that how that would have affected me to have crushed those four fingers off of her hand. But I thank God for the Spirit of the Lord for allowing me to see, to catch, because it was split second where she would have lost those fingers. But see, that's the difference of sustaining the fire or not. Is everybody okay? That wasn't something that was given to me because it was me. It was granted to me because I was in the Spirit, regardless of what was going on. I was sustaining the fire to be able to see because of relationship. If you got long-distance relationship, you're not going to get things quick. It takes days to get things. But when it's close, your conversation is here and now. You're not waiting for a letter. Verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. In other words, he puts you through stuff to bear more fruit. He wants to expand you. It's like going to a grocery store. You want to carry as many bags out as you can. But if you can only carry one bag out because you're too weak, that's all you get. Amen? But if you can carry more bags out, you get more. And that's what God does. He prunes us to get more. Why? Because he wants to deliver more of himself out. He prunes you that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Nevertheless, or neither can you, unless you what? Abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Oh, how powerful. One of the things that happens when we do not sustain the fire of God is people let go of God's divine destiny for them. They let it go. They cast off the restraints of the flesh. They lose the attitude as an overcomer, and they become easily defeated. They're mostly discouraged or oppressed. They cannot overcome the world. Now here's something very powerful. They exchange knowledge for fire, because knowledge will puff up. So they think that they've come to a place, I know, but they've lost the fire. Because now they rely on knowledge of what they've learned. And that puts a person in a stagnant place. And that's a terrible place to be in. Stagnation is terrible. To know and not be able to do anything. So they exchange the fire of God for knowledge. They even exchange their faith for knowledge. And they lose the discernment and zeal of the house of God and their destiny. And again, they surrender their will to the wrong things. The word tells us that in Matthew 5, those who thirst and hunger for righteousness shall be filled. Be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the oil will produce that fire. Why? It burns. It's a supernatural burn. It burns. The powers of darkness hate the fire of God. It exposes them. In Hebrews 6, sustaining fire. Jesus is a consuming fire, isn't he? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. Let's speak this together, please. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name. Toward his what? Name, not your own. Amen. And that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become what? Sluggish, lazy, compromising, lukewarm. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, amen, he obtained the promise. After he endured, he obtained. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation, if for them an end of all dispute. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise, immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Grabbing hold, not sluggish. Let me share with you. It is an abominable state to be a believer to be in that condition. I'm going to say that again. It's an abominable state for a believer to be in that condition, lukewarm. Hebrews 2, verse 1, let's speak it. Therefore, we must give what? The more earnest heed to the things we have what? Heard, lest we what? Drift away. Take heed of the things that we've learned, unless we what? Drift away. One of the things that happens is when people are not abiding, they drift away. They drift. That's what the enemy loves to do. He likes to take a sheep from a flock and put them aside. And he convinces them. They're easily offended because the fire is there. It's gone. No fire. Why? Because fire burns all that. Let me tell you, fire dismantles self so you don't get offended. People that get offended is because they're still fighting for their lives. They haven't really given their life, or they've taken their life back and call themselves a Christian. And they live by emotion and goosebumps instead of truth. Truth is now distant. They're more concerned about how they feel. Verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Let me tell you something, that in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are tools. They're his gifts, but they're utilized as tools for me and you. They're not to puff someone up. They're not our tools. They're his. Amen? They're not to be misused. Some people use it for gain. Some people use it for promotion. Some people use it to raise money. I've seen it all. But it's used for rescue. It's used to help. It's used to bring heaven into this natural realm. We don't want to drift away from the things that we've learned. Amen? The word says something very powerful. It says that when we lose the light, then darkness overtakes, and then there is no comprehension. In other words, we lose understanding of things. We're always going, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. And you won't understand because now light is overtaking darkness and you can't see correctly. You can't hear correctly. You can't walk. You live in assumption. Gosh, I hope this is it. It's always a guessing game. And that's a terrible way to live. Is everybody okay? So we stay in a routine then. We're more dependent on our routine than we enter the voice of God or the relationship. I want to close at Philippians chapter 2. Sustaining fire. Hallelujah. In verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together, please. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. You know, the Lord is a very forgiving, very merciful. But let's not take advantage of his mercy and grace. Let's not trample it. Amen? Let's speak this. Verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. That's reverence, reverence, and being willing to do whatever it takes. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasures. Wow. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Again, sustain the fire. Come out of the lukewarm. It's important that fire will maintain your dismantle of self. The Bible tells us in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and his right hand our pleasures forevermore. The Holy Spirit is the oil. The fire is the power, the presence of the Almighty God as we are his tabernacle. Don't let the enemy put another label on you. Amen? Break those labels off of what the world tries to place upon you. We are not of the world. This is not our home. And we're getting ready to go home. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray today, Lord, that reality will come into each and every one of us, and that there be a self-examination of where we stand with you, close, distant, unknowing, not discerning, cold, lukewarm, hot. Bring us to that place, Lord, where our thirst and hunger for your presence overtakes everything else, that we may fulfill your will through the destiny that you've prepared for each and every one of us here in this realm, and that Jesus would receive all glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.